I do too.
Okay, I just restarted the recording just so everyone knows that this call is being recorded. I do have a quick announcement that I'd like to make tonight before we go ahead and actually get the meeting started. So hello everyone and welcome to the April 14th, 2020 regularly scheduled Sheboygan City Council meeting via teleconference. It's a big night for us, first time we've ever used this. This is Clerk Treasurer Bridget Brown. Before the meeting begins tonight, I would like to give a brief announcement that will hopefully address any of your questions that you have as we work through this. Our meeting tonight will only include audio. At this time, we've opted to exclude the video portion of the meeting. We're trying to keep the communication open and flowing and smooth, and we've gotten some feedback that the video sometimes slows that down. Currently, any public participant, their mic is muted, with the exception of mine and council. In just a few moments, I'm going to begin unmuting everyone as far as council goes, make sure that we're all on. And then once all the members are here, we'll go ahead and we'll turn the meeting over to Mayor Bronson to call the meeting to order. The mayor will address each agenda item and open up the discussion between the council members. The most important part for the public participants tonight would be the public comments portion. Any public participant in the teleconference will have an opportunity to publicly comment. Normally, we would ask that the public comments section only address items not on the agenda, but tonight we will only be taking those questions or comments during the public comment portion of the meeting. So if there's something on the agenda that you'd like to address, please do it during the public comments. You won't have another opportunity to address council. When we reach the public comment section, I will go through our list of participants and individually will unmute the caller. I will address the caller by the last four digits of their cell phone number or the telephone number that they've called in from. You can see I've changed all of those sign-in numbers to just the last four digits of that telephone number to hopefully protect some of that privacy for those participants. If you have no public comments, you can either simply respond with pass, or if I don't get a verbal response within 30 seconds, I will automatically go on to the next public participant. If you like to address council, please begin by introducing yourself with your first and last name. Also be aware that any background noise may cause disruptive video and we may not be able to hear you. And lastly, if there are any inappropriate comments being made or inappropriate language being used, the caller will immediately be muted. The last item I want to address tonight before we begin are the council members that we have joining us via teleconference. Tonight we have with us Councilwoman Johnston, Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar, Mayor Bronson, Councilman Mallory, Councilwoman Rabb, Councilwoman Potajnik, and Councilman Temple. We also have Tom Eustace on the call, City Manager Tom Eustace, along with Chief Jones, who's in the City Hall chambers with Tom. So at this time, I'm gonna go ahead and turn the meeting over to Mayor Bronson.
Great, thank you, Bridget.
You're welcome.
I will call the regular city meeting of April 14th, 2020 to order. Please call roll.
Johnson.
Present.
Vaughn Temple.
Here.
Kuchar.
Here.
Bronson?
Here.
Mallory?
Here.
Rabb?
Here.
Potajnik?
Here.
All right, we're going to skip item three and move right into public comments.
Sorry, just give me one second here. I'm getting situated.
Sure.
Okay, caller 0409, I'm going to unmute you. It should give you the notification that you've been unmuted. You may pass or you may address council at this time.
Hello, everyone. My name is John Stripmatter. I believe all of you received an email from me last week. This is in response to the medical marijuana facility licensing act and the marijuana ordinance with your city. I purchased some buildings, as I stated in my email, and I am pre-qualified through the state of Michigan. What the pre-qualification is it's the first step in obtaining a license. You do all of the background check, the capitalization requirements, and I apologize, I do have a crying baby at the household. Capitalization requirements and FBI background check, provide multiple years of tax returns, go through all of the due diligence that's required in order to ensure you are legally able to obtain a license through the state of Michigan. The next step in the process usually entails try and find property that is going to be zoned appropriately, as every municipality has their own special zoning requirement, as long as the number of licenses that they are approving people for. At that point, you usually secure a permit with that municipality so that you can do the step two in the state application process, which is bringing that building up to compliance with all of the rigorous guidelines that they have for that building to meet in order for it to be an operational approved marijuana facility. The two buildings I bought, the one that's on Main Street, 414 Main Street, the old donut shop, I'm planning on doing a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of renovations to the building, as it's almost a complete redo. In addition, on the building in the industrial park, the old Moran building, is probably fairly close to about $1 million renovation to build it out. And it's going to be done in three phases and take you know, the good part of a year to actually probably do all three phases. The problem I was having, as I explained to a few of you over the phone and attempted to do in email, but I don't think I was very clear in my point, unfortunately. You guys have in your ordinance states that you have to have an existing state operating license for the type of business that you're trying to apply for. The only way that one would be able to secure a state operating license would be if they've gone through the phase one pre-approval, gone to a municipality, obtained a permit in that municipality, and then fully purchased and or leased the building and done the complete build out and brought that building totally up to spec with the marijuana regulatory agency's guidelines. Then the building would be deemed operational. They would pay their final fee and then they would be issued a state license. I have not done that in any other municipality, as I think most of the applicants who are in Sheboygan have not. They would already have to be an existing business that is operational in order to have a license, and that license that you're requesting is a prerequisite in order to be able to apply to city council, obtain a permit, secure one of the limited number of licenses, and be able to start investing money in the property to build it out. So that one sentence in there prohibits me and a lot of other businesses from being able to move forward with securing a permit to be able to move forward in Sheboygan. I would like consideration to possibly change that verbiage, to change it from saying an approved license to saying an approved license or a pre-qualification letter through the state of Michigan, which would open up the doors to many more applicants and many more people who are qualified to come in and do business in the city of Sheboygan. I think it was the intention of city council to allow everyone who is approved through the state of Michigan and has gone through the vetting process to be able to apply to city council for a permit in the city. But I think that verbiage prohibited it from what the true intentions were. So if it was the case that city council only wants businesses that are totally up and running and established, there's only a few of them in the state. And for me, I'm looking for three different business types. So in order for a business to mimic what I'm trying to do there, the order have to have all three of those business types up and running in the state in order to be able to apply with Sheboygan. So if it was the intention for only those type of businesses, then I have to respect that and I will move forward. But if it wasn't the intention and it was the intention that I spoke with a few of you one-on-one about, I would like to have consideration to change the ordinance, just that simple word, to include pre-qualification letter. Does anyone have any questions for me? I know that was a lot I spit out at you very quickly.
John, this is Mayor Bronson.
Yes.
Hello, Mr. Honor Bronson. Agenda tonight. We are asking to schedule a public hearing to include the language about a pre-qualification letter.
Wonderful. I saw that. I didn't. I just thought this was where you would want to hear me speak on it. If I had to explain it at all, I hope it was the appropriate time.
Yes, that's how we're handling it today. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So that is on our agenda.
Thank you, John. I went ahead and muted your call, and I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next public comment. Caller 0759. I'm going to go ahead and unmute your phone now. You'll get a notice that you've been unmuted. If you have anything you'd like to address to council, please begin by introducing yourself first and last name. And if you have nothing to address with council, you may say pass.
Hello, this is Katie Dutchkowski. I'm joining the call today to introduce myself as the interim director for the Downtown Development Authority. I just wanted to say how excited I am to be part of Sheboygan again, and I look forward to meeting you all in person when the time is appropriate. If you need to reach out to me during the stay-at-home order, the best way to reach me at this time is through email. My email address is kdutchkowski@sheboygan.org, and I'll spell that for you. It's kdutchkowski@sheboygan.org. And I look forward to meeting you all soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. I'm going to go ahead and put you back on mute now, and we'll move on to our next public participant. Caller 2342, I'm going to go ahead and unmute your phone now. Please introduce yourself first and last name if you would like to address council. Otherwise, you may say pass.
I'm Mary Heber, and I just want to thank everybody who's working so hard at the city and keeping things going during this challenging time. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you for your comments, Mary. I'm going to go ahead and put you back on mute now, and we'll move on to our next call. Caller number 2440, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you now.
Pass.
Thank you for that. We'll move on to caller number 3194.
Hello, this is Pat Gilner checking in. And again, just encouraging all of you to keep on with what needs to be done. And you're doing a good job. Just listening in to see what's going on. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us tonight, Pat. I'm going to go ahead and put you back on mute now, and we'll move on to our next caller here. Caller number 5662, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you now.
Pass.
Thank you for that. Go ahead and put you back on mute. Okay, caller number 6027, I believe you're up next.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you for that. We'll go ahead and get you back on mute. Caller number 6483, I'm going to go ahead and unmute your phone now.
Good evening, Trudy Lofgren. I'm just curious how Kristen Gunther is doing.
I guess I can start by addressing that. You know, I personally have not heard any information. I do not know if anybody else on the call tonight has any updates.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Was that all for you tonight?
That was it.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, Trudy. Okay, and we'll move on to caller 6483. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you now.
That's me. That's Trudy again.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I do?
Hey, Trudy. Hey, Bridget, can you hear me now?
Good.
I must have went on mute for a minute.
Oh, yep. I'm sorry. Did you have a comment that you wanted to add, Tom?
I was going to comment on Kirsten, but, it's a difficult thing to do to with HIPAA laws and so forth to make any kind of any indication of her health. So, but really she isn't in any different condition at this point. So we're just hoping that she can get back at some time. And I think she's going to be out for a little while. That's really all I have to say.
Okay. Thanks for that, Tom. Okay, we'll move on. Let's see, it looks like I've got caller number 7653. I'm gonna go ahead and unmute your phone now. Caller number 7653, did you have any comments for council tonight?
Okay, yeah, this is Lewis Ballas calling. How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. Just wanted to say that this is going to be a teachable moment for Sheboygan City and Sheboygan County as a whole for any kind of emergencies going forward. The county is, flat-footed. Same thing is going for the city on services for its residents. I've spoke to the county this morning in regards to lack of emergency food supplies for its residents. As you know, going into Walmart, going into Save-A-Lot, going into Family Fair, the store shelves are getting bared to minimal. The USDA does have commodity food boxes that can be issued weekly or monthly to its residents, not just for seniors, not just not for kids, but for regular adults and disabled people too. That needs to be looked into for an emergency management standpoint, as well as with Emmett and Shelby County, they just did the same with Great Lakes Energy and Strive Thrive, I think that's what it is, with the internet service for the residents for school-age kids, as well as rare residents can use the internet as well. Since the library closed, here in Sheboygan, except for the Wi-Fi in the parking lot where you can't plug up, there's not any electrical outlets there, or any other facility in the city is not open for internet service. this is something that was discussed about 6-7 meetings ago with doing an internet blanket over the city. There's the services with the city that needs to be taken care of, at least on two fronts. So other than that, do you see the ditches on the east side of town starting to get clogged up with water? Hopefully those can be addressed, as well as also my ongoing issue with getting city water and city sewer on Eastern Avenue. So other than that, that was pretty much all I wanted to say. And I do look forward to hearing from council and city management on this, these issues I brought up tonight. Thank you. You can mute me now.
Thank you, Lewis. I went ahead and put you back on mute. I guess I can give anybody from council if they want an opportunity to address that. Okay, I can go ahead. There's a couple of calls. I just want to double check that they had an opportunity to speak. The participants are moving around on me a little bit, so I've got a couple of people. Like I said, I'm going to unmute them just briefly just to make sure that they had a chance. We may have already checked in with them. Caller number 2342.
All set.
All set. Thank you. And there was one other call. I believe we might have checked in with this person, but caller number 2440. I just want to verify that we.
I'm all set.
All set. Thank you. All right, Mayor, I believe that is all of our public participation. I'm going to just double check that we've got all the participants on mute now, and then you can go ahead and carry on with the agenda.
All right. Thank you, Bridget. We'll move on to item 5, approval of agenda and receive and file all communications. There is one addition to this. Hopefully you had a chance to get a copy of the resolution establishing procedures to allow telephonic attendance. But we would need to add that. And I would like to do that sort of as 5B.
I will move to approve the agenda and receive and file out communications with the addition of 5B being the resolution to establish the telephonic attendance procedures.
I second.
All right. And a motion from Councilwoman Johnston, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar, to approve the agenda with the addition. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right. We will move on to 5D then, and this is the resolution we just talked about on the advice of the Stephen Lindsay. He thought we should have this as a resolution to authorize and confirm that we have some rules about doing the public meeting as we are doing it. So I would just need a motion and second.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilwoman Rabb, seconded by Councilwoman Johnston. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. We'll move on to 7A, bills and disbursements. Prepaid bills and disbursements for the month of March 2020.
We actually need to back up and approve the prior meeting minutes. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. 6A.
Correct.
Approval of regular city council meeting minutes, March 10, 2020.
Make a motion to accept March 10th meeting minutes.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilwoman Rabb, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar to approve regular city meeting minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. 7A, bills and disbursements, prepaid bills and disbursements for the month of March 2020. There any questions?
Nope.
If there's not any questions, can I have a motion?
Make a motion to approve prepaid bills and disbursements for the month of March 2020.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilwoman Rabb, seconded by Councilwoman Potasnik to approve the prepaid bills and disbursements. Please call roll.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple? Temple? Kuchar?
Yes.
Rabb?
Yes.
Potasnik?
Yes.
Johnston? Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
And then let me just, Temple?
Bridget, let me double check. I'm helping him with his video, and I think something might be wrong with his mic.
Okay.
Something is wrong with his mic. He did say yes.
Okay.
All right. Motion carried. We'll move on to 7B, unpaid bills and disbursements for the month of March 2020. Any questions?
I have a question about item number four, the chiller and compressor repairs at the ice arena. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing this is probably not normal maintenance, judging by the fact that it says shut down. Is this something due to aging equipment or just?
No, they shut it down every season.
Yeah, it basically summarizes it. Yeah, it's just a process that they go through to drain the chillers and get them ready for the off season. So it is a routine maintenance issue. Basically seasonally shut it down.
So that's an annual expense there. What I'm looking at, then, it's nothing out of the ordinary.
No, it's just end of the season shutdown.
This is Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar. There might be a portion of that might be for a fixed. It did shut off on us one night middle in the, okay. And so it was just basically a service call along with that. It was pretty simple fix, but it was beyond any of us that were looking at it.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
According to the invoice, they had to get the glycol levels up and then they had to check one of the compressors failed. And then this invoice also includes that seasonal shutdown.
Yeah. Got it.
And then I also have a question about number 40, the disinfect contact surfaces. I'm just curious what that entailed and what surfaces that involved. Not because I'm questioning the invoice, I'm just curious as to how extensive that may have been.
Very extensive. We basically sanitized the interior of the entire rink, including the bleachers. We power washed with bleach all the interior walls, prepping them to be painted this summer. We removed the mats in the showers. They were pretty bad. We're going to go to a different surface in the showers. It was about a 5-day process. I had two guys here for 5 days, and they power washed, again, every floor, every wall in the rink, the bleachers, even the rink surface. So if by chance we ever had to use that facility for COVID-19 in a separate hospital location, that's why we power washed even the ice surface itself. So the rink is completely sanitized. And if we, hopefully we don't ever need it to use it for medical purposes, but it is prepped to paint the entire facility this summer.
Well, that's really good to know. I hadn't thought about, you know, using it for that purpose, but it's very good to know that we have that if we need it.
Sure.
Hopefully we don't, but, you know.
So that's obviously, Tom, this is Diane. That's not something that's routinely done. This is simply because of the current COVID-19 situation?
Both. Yeah, it's not something that's routinely done, but it was something that we had planned to do as far as preparing the rink to be painted.
Okay.
But we kind of extended it further to do the entire rink just for the COVID-19 purpose. We thought as long as we have the power wash in the facility, we have the people there, we did the entire rink, including bleachers and everything.
Good. Thank you.
Yep.
I'll move to approve the unpaid bills and disbursements for the months of March 2020 in the amount of $31,499.21.
Second that.
Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar, second by Councilman Rabb, to approve the unpaid bills and disbursements. Please call roll.
Temple?
He said yes. I can't get his mic to work.
Okay. Is he with you in the room?
He's in a separate room, but he's in my house with me.
Oh,
would it be helpful if he came closer so you could hear him through mine, or would you want him to type an answer in the chat? Something so you know him.
Yeah, I it's fine. If he has something that he wants to add, he can certainly do that through your microphone. Just to, you know.
Okay.
Yep. Kuchar?
Yes.
Rabb?
Yes.
Potajnik?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
All right, motion passed. Resolution and proclamations, consideration of mayoral proclamation Sexual Assault Awareness Month, April 2020. And I think that was in your packet. I just need a motion and a second.
I make a motion to approve.
I will second.
Motion by Councilwoman Rabb, seconded by Councilman Johnson to approve the proclamation. Please call roll.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Rabb?
Yes.
Potajnik?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
And Temple?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, we'll move on to general business, 9A, consideration to schedule a public hearing for April 28th, 2020, to consider a grant application to the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Development for the purpose of purchasing a used fire pumper. Chief, you have anything to fill us in on?
He's coming to the mic.
Good evening. This is a 2007 Sutphin custom pumper, very similar to the one we bought a few years ago. And Sutphin contacted us about a year ago. They sold two new custom pumpers to the city of Petoskey, and they took two in on trade. And inquired if we would be interested. We're very close to having this grant. We have tentative approval by USDA, very close to having it approved. If so, that would be our newest fire truck being a 2007.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions from council?
Yes, I have a couple of questions about this. This is Councilwoman Johnston. First of all, I talked to the fire chief about this. I was asking for his opinion since I haven't heard anything about us needing to purchase equipment. He was unaware of this application and unaware that we were looking at purchasing this particular vehicle. I think that that's a major problem, that our fire chief doesn't know about this and hasn't been included in the process. And for that reason, you know, pending other discussion, I would move to table this decision until we've had a chance to hear from the fire chief about it.
Any other comment?
This is Chief Jones. Tom had spoken briefly with Don about it, but we were kind of holding off to tell him until we got this far to at least get the public hearing set. I'm sure he'll be very happy and elated with this vehicle should we be able to purchase it.
I don't disagree with that at all, but I would definitely like to hear from him before we make a decision. That's my thought anyway.
All right, what are our wishes of council?
Well, the consideration is to schedule a public hearing. It's not to approve anything beyond that. This is just to schedule the public hearing. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And I have made a motion to table a decision on this pending a discussion with the fire chief.
All right, thank you, Chair. Is there a second for that? Without a second, is there a motion to approve the public hearing?
I'm just going to add a comment before I make a motion. I kind of agree with Sarah on this at some level. I do think that it is okay to, it would be okay for us to schedule a public hearing, have some conversation with the fire chief in the meantime. I'm sure that he, I guess if he was not aware of this, that raises my eyebrows a little bit on that as far as that goes, but I don't think it's, I don't think there was the ill intent as far as that goes, but we definitely need to make sure that our communication lines are a little bit better prepared. So that being said, I would make a motion to set the public hearing, looking for the wordage here, as said in 9A.
I'll second that. I'm on the same page with Nick.
All right. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar, seconded by Councilman Mallory, to set a public hearing for April 28th, 2020. Please call roll.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Johnston?
No.
Bronson?
Yes.
Temple?
You can come say it in my mic.
Yes.
Did you hear him?
I did. I got a yes for Temple.
Okay.
Rab?
Yes.
Potajnik?
Yes.
All right, motion carried. We'll move on to 9B.
Thank you.
Consideration to schedule a public hearing for May 12, 2020 to adopt an ordinance to amend the code of the city of Sheboygan by amending the city of Sheboygan zoning ordinance, chapter 154, article 4, to include tourist service zoning. This is something that I had asked Tom about. We had a request, I think it was from the Flower Station on Mackinac Avenue. They are in a tourist service, and I wondered if, since we were going to have a public hearing on the pre-qualification letter, I thought maybe this would be an opportunity to look at other zoning areas that we should have included. And I think Tom has suggested another area that he thinks we should consider also.
Yeah, in regard to the tourist service zoning, I think that's going to be a plus. But I also would like to add waterfront marinas zoning, which is a commercial zone, mainly because we have an interested party that's in the process of purchasing a building for medical marijuana in a waterfront marina zone. They have applied, they have application in to get it rezoned, but that process will take a little longer than if we just allow medical marijuana facilities in a waterfront marina zoning district. As I looked at the zoning map, this particular building, I think, is the only building currently that would fit the use of a medical marijuana facility. All other properties in the waterfront marina districts, which include Gagosian and Riba, Wallstrom Marine, are not, you know, they're not medical marijuana facility properties. The other large area of waterfront marina is publicly owned property along the east bank of the Sheboygan River, from the pedestrian bridge to the Lincoln Avenue Bridge. It's all public property. There is a waterfront marina district where Duncan Bay Boat Club is, and the condominiums that are along the boat club basin, that is a waterfront marina district, but that is not a location where anybody would want to locate a medical marijuana facility. So I think for ease of the purchaser of this property, that if we include waterfront marina, this property that they're intending on purchasing, which is on the corner of Coast Guard Drive and State Street, will now be eligible for a medical marijuana facility. It is adjacent to a B3 zoning district, which is what we were going to rezone it to, and it wouldn't be spot zoning, but that process is a little more cumbersome and will take more time. I think this is just a smoother transition, and the council still has the ability to control what goes into waterfront marina district for medical marijuana purposes.
Tom, I have a question. Maybe the planning commission already looked at this, but is it worth it to, instead of continuing to add different zones to this ordinance, to maybe exclude certain zones? I'm not sure if there's maybe fewer zones that would be worth, you know, disallowing it versus zones to allow it. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I understand that. I think yeah, it's twofold. I think it would be easier to allow, just to designate the allowable districts that medical marijuana can be developed in. And I don't see any reason to extend any other zoning districts past these four districts that we have: B2, B3, Tourist Service, and Waterfront Marina. They're really just, I mean, there isn't really going to be any other medical marijuana developments in the Waterfront Marina District. I'm just trying to accommodate a specific company that wants to locate in the Waterfront Marina District, which is adjacent to a B3 district, and make that transition a little easier for them.
So, Tom, would you be looking for this motion to add instead of just adding the include the tourist service, we would also include the marina?
Waterfront Marina District, yes.
That would be the motion you would look for, to schedule that, both the public hearings at the same time, or for the public hearing for both of those?
Yes, just to add it to the existing ordinance, those two districts. Yes. Gotcha.
So what we're really looking at is setting up a public hearing May 12th to look at amending the zoning ordinances, well, those two plus the next one we're going to be discussing, which is the pre-qualification one.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
No, those can be two separate public hearings.
I'll move to set a public hearing for May 10th, 2020, to consider adopting an ordinance to amend the Code of the City of Sheboygan by amending the City of Sheboygan Zoning Ordinance Chapter 154, Article 4, to include tourist service zoning and waterfront marina zoning?
That's correct. That's exactly correct, Nick.
I will second that.
All right, we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar, seconded by Councilwoman Johnston. One thing, Tom, you make sure we get maps of both of those zoning districts?
Yeah, absolutely, sure.
All right. Any other questions before we vote on this? All right, Bridget, please call roll.
Potashnik?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Rab?
Yes.
All right, motion carried. We'll move on to 9C. This is a consideration to schedule a public hearing for May 12, 2020 to adopt an ordinance to amend the code of the City of Sheboygan by amending Title 11, Chapter 121, Section 121.04, B2, to include a pre-qualification letter issued by the State of Michigan if a license has not been issued. And I think John did a very good job of explaining the sort of catch-22 that some of these business people have been caught in.
I have a question.
Yes.
It doesn't, I think when we established the ordinance and the requirements for someone to apply for a permit with the city, it was with the understanding that they would have already been approved by the State of Michigan and have a license. And I don't understand how you can not begin to even apply for a permit with us without a license. I understand the pre-qualification part of it, but it just doesn't, something doesn't make sense to me that you have to have an existing building or existing business before you can apply to certain municipalities for a permit.
That's the way the state set it up. That's what we're trying to fix.
Essentially, Diane, what has to happen for someone to get a license, in cliff notes from what the speaker, what John said earlier, was basically you have to get a pre-qualification from the city that you're in, that you're applying for, you get a pre-qualification from the State of Michigan. Then you have to go to the city and get your plan, your application approved. Then you have to go back to the state in order for them. That's when you got to bring your whole basically business plan to them before. So it's just kind of the cart before the horse.
No, I do understand that. Thank you, Nick. And I did understand it when John presented. It just doesn't make sense to me, but I understand that it's a crazy loophole or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's a quirk of the law.
And one other question I have is in the agenda we have, it says consideration of a public hearing for May 12th. And then it says to set a public hearing for May 10th in both of these, and I'm confused on the dates.
Yeah, that's a typo. It is okay, supposed to be May 12th. May 10th is a Sunday, Mother's Day. That was just a typographical error in the actual motion.
Thank you.
So good. It is May 12th.
Are there any other questions on 9C? If not, can I have a...
I'll make a motion to set a public hearing.
I'll second.
Thank you. Motion by Councilwoman Rabb, seconded by Councilwoman Potashnik to set a public hearing for May 12, 2020. Please call roll.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Rab?
Yes.
Potashnik?
Yes.
All right, motion carried. Move on to 10A. Bridget, you have anything to add?
I don't have anything to add to the revenues and expenses by fund, unless anybody has any questions for me. Okay, I will take a couple of minutes, though, going over the certification of the six-month delinquent water sewer bills. Okay. I know we have a couple new people on here that probably haven't seen this before. So what you're looking at here is the report of all the delinquent customers that have a delinquent water or sewer balance as of September 1st, 2019. So they're over 6 months past due. We are in the process of issuing letters to all of these customers. You have a list of every account number. We'll be issuing the letters this week. We will probably see about a 40% decrease on this amount. That's what we've seen in prior years as far as what gets paid. And then whatever isn't paid as of June 1st, 2020, will get turned over to the county treasurer to be included on our tax bills. So, and then just for a frame of reference, as you can see, our total tax lien amount right now is $184,000 roughly. 2019, our amount was about $111,000. So we do have an increase, but this is probably one of the first years where we're starting to see the increase in rates. So that's impacting that amount. We only had an increase of 19 customers that had delinquent amounts.
Bridget, have you and Tom talked about at all? I know there's a lot of businesses that are kind of delaying the due dates on a lot of things, and I don't know if this is something you guys have discussed, or what do you think about that?
Well, I know the timing for these letters is somewhat hard, just because of everything else that's going on. However, we do have to notify them, and this is our only way, and these are amounts that were due in September of last year, so it's not anything that's recently come out, and these are actually all personal accounts. There's only one business account on here.
Right. And I would add, too, that there are some people who regularly let this go, and they pay it with their property taxes.
Correct.
Right.
And a lot of people will pay this time of year because they're getting their taxes back. So we do see a lot of people will pay just once a year a very large amount. So
if that did become an issue, is that something that we could look at, or would that be actually up to the county since everything would be turned over to them?
As far as whether or not we didn't want to turn these amounts over to the county?
No. I just mean if the COVID-19 thing just kept going on and it got into tax time, I mean, theoretically, is that something that we would have the opportunity to say, okay, we're going to give a 30-day grace period on this, or would that be up to the county?
No, well, two things here. It would be up to us. If there were an account on here that we didn't want to turn over to taxes for whatever reason, that would be up to us. The county is only going to add whatever I send to them. I would advise that these amounts get added to taxes. Like I said, these are amounts that have been due since last fall. These are not new bills. We have had discussions internally about current water bills. We likely will not be assessing late fees. We haven't finalized that decision yet, but we likely won't be assessing late fees on our bills that are due April 16th.
Yeah, makes sense. Thanks.
You're welcome.
And I would think, too, correct me if I'm wrong, Bridget, that anything that might be affected by COVID-19 would be happening now and would potentially be discussed at a future meeting.
Correct.
Sometime in the next few months, I would think.
Right. So does anybody have any other questions or concerns about that report? Okay, that was all I had tonight.
Just a question, Bridget. Can you give us an update what's happening at the office? We know the doors are locked. What are scheduled for staff if they're coming in?
Sure. Let me, I can give you a quick breakdown of that. When the executive order first came out, we initially sent the office home, the two staff in the office, and then it was just Tom and I working through that first week and a half while we figured out how we were going to address it. We have since come up with a rotating schedule. So 1 week we have one of the girls in, and then the following week we have the next worker in. We're doing our district health assessment as the employee comes in for the morning. So making sure we're asking those important questions if they're, you know, if they have any symptoms, if they've been around anybody. So right now we're working. The girls are usually here 8 to 3, and then Tom and I are here usually 8 to 3 or sometimes 4 later. So we're mostly staffed for the full day.
Right. Whenever I've called, I've gotten answers. The other question I have, are we looking at the front counter where Judy normally sits, of putting up some protection there for the staff people, the screening, the clear screening or something like that for
yes.
the future?
Yes, okay. Tom and I have discussed that. We've also discussed potentially installing a drop box. I know Tom was looking. He had called another city, and they had gotten some information as far as where we could get one of those. Unfortunately, the drop box requires a cement pad to be laid, so we wouldn't, you know, likely wouldn't be able to do that anytime soon, especially considering the snow today. But yeah, we are looking at, you know, getting these other things taken care of now.
Okay.
Yeah. And certainly trying to shield the front desk so there's – yeah, there's nobody that can, you know, we can screen it, glass it in for when we do open back up at some point.
Okay.
That will happen.
Thank you. Any other questions for Bridget?
This is Tom. I just want to make a comment about the delinquent water sewer tax liens that we'll go on the summer tax bills. And that, you know, that's something I was concerned about. We have a lot of people that are not going to be working this summer and are going to be in difficult financial conditions, but they do have these, when these tax liens go on the tax roll, they have about a 2.5 year reprieve before any action is taken against them. So hopefully that we'll be able to recover, and we still have time to, if the COVID-19 situation extends out for a long period of time, you know, we can still relook at those liens and try to do something different. But at this point, I think it's in the early stages, and I think adding these tax liens to the tax roll is the right thing to do. And we still have time to work with the taxpayers and the county as far as how those get paid.
All right. Thanks, Tom. We'll move on to your part, the city manager's report.
Yes, we are still planning a citywide brush pickup beginning April 27th through May 8th. I don't think there's a concern with the six foot the 6 foot distancing. We do have to have two employees doing it, but typically one employee is in a front end loader, the other's in the truck and on the ground, so they're not touching each other or in face-to-face contact at any point. So we are going to proceed with brush and leaf pickup again on April 27th through May 8th. We are also at this point, we have scheduled a citywide garbage refuge cleanup on May 9th, which is the day before Mother's Day. We did this last year where we had multiple locations where you could bring garbage or, you know, furniture, old furniture, mattresses. We'll have five 30-yard containers around the city, likely two in the county at the county fairgrounds, at least one at the ice arena, possibly two in the city hall parking lot. We can cancel it at some point. I have some concerns about how we're going to manage that because there is going to be some face-to-face interaction. We are going to need people to man the sites so that we're not only city residents can bring their household refuge here, and that worked well last year. We had people checking identification, and in fact, I think one individual made the mayor go home and get his identification.
Good job.
So. And I'm hoping that by the end of the month, some of those social distancing requirements might relax a little bit. We'll see what happens. If it doesn't change, we may likely have to cancel it. But right now, I have five dumpsters scheduled through local sanitation, and they're okay. If we don't use them, they're not going to charge us for them. So. That's tentatively planned for May 9th. It went very well last year, and it's something that a lot of people have asked if we're going to do that again, and we're certainly going to try.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
This is Nick. Just something to keep in the back of your head. It may be something you want to look into. I know in at least one other community, I was in East Jordan last spring and saw that everybody was putting their refuse – not like food garbage, but like the stuff that you would throw away, you know, dressers, things like that, that we're talking about that you could take. They actually put them on curbside, and they contract every year with, and I think they might do multiple years with one of the sanitation services. Uh-huh. They contract every year to do that. And it's like a one weekend deal every year where everybody just puts their stuff out on the curb and then they just pay a sanitation service to come over and take that stuff.
Hmm.
So it might be something, I mean, it's a cost to the city, but it's going to be a cost either way. It might be something to whether, I think the first year they did it, because I asked about it, I said, what's everybody's got their garbage out for? And they said, well, it's, and what happens is a lot of people drive around and pick up something, you know, it's almost like a yard sale. Everybody drives around and, you know, but sure. At the end of the day, that could be just something that would eliminate having to have interaction, human interaction, it'd just be the normal garbage pickup.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
And I think that they bid that out, whether they do it annually or multiple years, they bid it out. And so each local sanitation unit has an opportunity to do that bid.
Okay.
Something to look into. It was East Jordan, so you might want to, you could call Tom in East Jordan, the city manager there.
Yeah. Yep, I know him. Yeah, I'll do that. And we have a committee, Christy Stempsey leads our committee. She's trying to organize. She was trying to organize some volunteers to go around the city and pick up garbage for the elderly, people that can't bring their garbage to the site.
Right.
Well, she was going to get some volunteers and Boy Scouts and some other volunteers to help out. And
depending on the cost of that, it might be something that they – you know, it might be something yeah. that they, might be something we look at, depending on what that would cost annually, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because I would say that, especially right now with so many people at home, I would hesitate to have to cancel that because I know a lot of people are cleaning and they're gonna really need that. You know, whether it happens that weekend or not is maybe up in the air, but I think people sure. would be upset and maybe in a tight spot if we canceled it completely.
Yes. Yeah, those are all good thoughts, and we need to do it at some point. And we have a lot of elderly people that can't do that sort of thing themselves. You know, they can't get material here, and if we can just help them to get it to the curb and have local sanitation or local or Green for Life pick it up, that might be the best way to go. I'll run that by the committee and do some brainstorming with that.
Anything else, Tom?
I forgot I was on the city manager's report. I want to address one thing that Louis Valens brought up under public comments, and some of the other things he brought up, I'll address with him directly. But we had we do have blanket Wi-Fi downtown. It's in a restricted area, but you can pick up Wi-Fi from State Street Down to Nelson, which is the end of the DDA. You can pick it up in Washington Park, Festival Square. We had a conference call on Friday with Jeff Lawson, Paul Clark, superintendent, Scott Herzig, myself, Katie Detskowski, Holly Schneider, just to review the state of our community. And the school is still trying to have online classes, some educational type classes, but so many kids in our community and live in rural areas don't have access to internet. So we discussed that with Superintendent Clark and then told him that if kids can get downtown and they have a device, at least they can access Wi-Fi and get online. So he was going to make that known to the school system that, if you need access to do online classes, they can come downtown, they can go to Washington Park, they can come to Festival Square, and at least have some access to the internet. So that's something we're working on with the school system. It's not perfect, but it could get a few more kids some access to educational opportunities.
And Tom, I want to interject that the library has Wi-Fi 24/7 antenna on externally at the library.
Okay.
And there are outdoor electrical outlets on the front. It would be on the south side of the front door.
Okay.
And then also in the children's garden near the exit door on that side of the building, there's also external electrical outlets.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we had a little bit of discussion about that. We weren't exactly sure. We knew you could pick up Wi-Fi from the parking lot at the library, but
yeah,
that's good to know. I'll let Paul Clark know exactly what is available there.
Okay.
Just one other thing. It's budget time. We typically by the second meeting in April. We have a preliminary budget. It's kind of a difficult thing to do right now, but I am working on a capital improvement plan. I hope to have that done by the next meeting. And we need to start having some budget discussions. And obviously, this is a very odd time. It's very unusual for what we're experiencing right now. I'm concerned with the amount of money the federal government has spent and the state government has spent. We have 6.6 million people on unemployment, and there's going to be more. Many people on unemployment in the state. The state's going to spend monies they didn't anticipate spending. I'm really concerned about state revenue sharing for the 2020-21 fiscal operating year. We get about $550,000 of our $2.2 million general fund budget. Property taxes, I think, are going to be okay. I think once we get through this, property taxes will be okay. But I'm concerned about state revenue sharing, whether or not we're going to get hit with some cuts there. The state's going to have to find money someplace. State revenue sharing comes from the 6% sales tax too, which is also taking a hit right now. There are not the sales that normally happen throughout the state right now. So we're gonna have to look at that and what we're gonna deal with and how we're gonna deal with it going forward here. If we get out of this sometime in the next 30 days, it may not be that significant. But if it goes longer and we have, and it appears that we're going to have a slow summer. I mean, I don't know that we're going to go into July with the situation we're in right now, but we're going to have partial shutdowns, I think, through July. And sales taxes, I'm concerned about Mackinac Island, Mackinac City, the tourist industry is going to be different this summer. And we may not have the monies. We may not have a $2.2 million general fund budget for next year. So we're going to be very careful what we look at, how we spend money, and how we plan to spend money going forward. It's going to be an odd situation, and we're just going to be very careful. Fortunately, we have a strong fund balance, and fund balances are intended to help us with this kind of situation, so that we can continue to operate with fund balance money. So we're in a pretty good condition there. There's a lot of municipalities that are not throughout the state of Michigan. But we're okay, but we're gonna have to watch very carefully what the state of Michigan does. And we're gonna have to be very frugal in how we operate. It's unfortunate because we had such a strong economy. We had a great summer ahead of us. I think it was gonna be one of the best summers we've had in 25 years, and it all came to a halt. So we're gonna have to be very careful, very frugal, and pay attention to details as far as what we're doing going forward.
Tom, when do we hear from the state for certain as to what our revenue sharing is gonna be for the next fiscal year?
When will we hear that? It's really already in their budget. Their budget is starts October 1st, but they could change that at any time. I mean, it wasn't really going to be any different. The preliminary budget that the governor had set out, it was going to be pretty much the same as there was a small increase over and above $550,000, but they can change that. I mean, the budget hasn't been approved for next year, and that's my concern, is that they're gonna pull funding out of that, because the revenue's not there, the money's not gonna be there.
Yeah, and they could make amendments to their budget even after we adopt ours, correct?
Yes, they can, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
Tom, what's your thoughts on you said we have to have. You have to have a budget that we adopt in the middle of April. Is that what you said?
No, we typically in the middle of April, we start just doing preliminary budget analysis. And yeah, we by charter, we should have a budget that we can adopt by the second meeting in May.
Okay. Would it be helpful? I know we probably should do this a little more anyway, but this year especially, would it be pertinent for us as council to have some open meetings that we actually discuss budget stuff, get a copy of what your contingent budget is going to be, and kind of go line by line with that in a setting like this, where we all have time, it's at least a little bit extra time, it seems, to be able to kind of scrutinize these budgets.
Sure.
And it might be helpful for you, a little brainstorming,
Absolutely. Though having meetings like this is a little bit cumbersome, we're not used to doing this kind of thing, it actually is a better format. I mean, you can have more meetings.
Yeah.
You don't have to get people together at an evening meeting. We could do public meetings 3:00 in the afternoon if people are available, or any time of the day. It's just I think it's a format that we can take advantage of going forward.
For sure.
And have those type of meetings.
But I think it would be something to consider in the next couple of weeks to start having some of those meetings, at least get reacquainted with the budget. Maybe we can get a mail copy or an email copy of what your potential budget is. Do you have that? Is that something you already have, or are you still building that?
I'm still building that, but it's something that I could do relatively quickly as far as rolling it over and making adjustments and so forth.
Gotcha. I think we should have at least to help this year, at least a couple of even special meetings that just are basically workshops when it comes to no action taken, just workshops to talk about the budget.
Sure. Yep.
I agree.
Yes. So I'll start working on that and see if we can set up some meetings and have some conversation. I think it's going to be important, and right now it's just very, very touch and go. It's, you know, there's a lot of uncertainties out there right now, and you know, we need to look at all bases and as we go forward.
Well, I agree completely that this has stalled so much, but we have to continue to plan for what we think is going to happen in the future. So, I mean, the wheels can't stop turning in all facets. I mean, there are other, and I don't think they have, but I'm just saying, I think that that's something that's going to be important moving forward.
Yes, I agree. Okay.
All right.
I don't have anything else. I was going to talk about the rink sanitation, and we talked a little bit about that earlier. But that's all I have.
All right. Thanks, Tom. I don't think we've had any committee meetings to report on. You know, if I'm wrong, let me know.
No, we have not. And as far as going forward, we're going to have some virtual planning commission meetings. I don't have anything as far as zoning board of appeals. But I think the DDA is going to use Zoom, DDA Main Street, and they'll have a meeting within the next week or two.
Okay.
But other commissions, like the Historic Resource Commission and those kind of meetings, I think we should just put on hold temporarily and just focus on the Planning Commission and the DDA Main Street and Council.
Can you email us a notification of when you're going to have some of those meetings?
Yes,
like the DDA meetings, make sure we know when they're happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
All right. We'll move on to messages and communications from Mayor and Council members, and I'll just call off from the roll call here. Sarah, do you have anything to add?
Just a couple things. First, I know some people have already said it, but I just really, really, really want to thank Bridget and Tom for all the hard work that they've done to get this organized and set up for us to be able to do this. I know this was a pretty mammoth project, and I think it's working very well. I appreciate both of you and everything that you've done to get this set up for us. I also wanted to comment on the internet situation. Mayor, you and Tom both provided some really good options for people who don't have internet at home and need internet. I have thought about this a little bit, just kind of on a personal level, just knowing how many people in our area don't have access, and even sometimes having to come downtown is kind of an inhibitor. I think that we're getting to a point where internet is more of a utility than anything else. And if somebody has access to electricity, I think they really ought to have access to internet too. I think as a country, we're kind of figuring that out right now. I would be interested in researching what kind of a role the city could play in making that a reality moving forward. I'm thinking of the city of Marquette, for example. Years ago, they instituted WiMAX, which was basically a citywide wireless internet service. I think that technology is maybe a little outdated now, but I think that there are some things that we can do to try and push that along a little bit. And I'd be curious to explore that more in the future. So not really a question, just kind of thinking out loud.
Very good. Anything else, Sarah?
Nope, that's all I had. Thank you.
Great. Brad?
Yep.
Anything you'd want to add?
Yep. Just a tip. If you mute yourself and then you just hold the space bar when you want to talk, you can, you know, I found that's kind of helpful while we're doing these meetings. We kind of addressed some of the meetings. Tom, is there anything that you can tell us about any work that's been done with the dam and in the Black the little black.
Yeah, the Black River Watershed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't repaired it yet. We should be able to do something there by the end of the month. We have satisfied the Eagle right now. We brought in some riprap, some rock, and so forth, and set it on the site just in case there was a structure that started to fail. We could secure it with rock and so forth. We monitor every day, so it is flowing fine. We don't have any beaver issues with that dam. That was the initial problem that we had last year, was the beavers were plugging it up. And it should be repaired by the end of the month or first part of May.
Okay. Also, have you had any contact with the police as far as, getting a meeting together or anything like that?
For negotiations?
Right.
Yeah, somewhat. I think we're going to try to meet at least some preliminary meetings without Phil Nance. Phil's got it scheduled to meet in May, but we're gonna try to have some preliminary meetings. And Roy Hartman's, who's there right now, he's their union steward, is off for a couple weeks. I believe that's right, eh, Kurt? He's off for 2 weeks, as Kurt said. So I think I can ask him if he can zoom in and see if we can have some preliminary discussions, because that's another thing that's, we were going to get ahead of the game on that, and all of a sudden we got shut down and couldn't have a meeting. But I think we can get Roy and some of the police officers and find out exactly what they're looking at, what they hope to get, and what they hope for. That's important.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, and like you said, you know, this is a good time with a little bit more flexibility with some people, at least, you know, being able to do some more meetings and whatnot.
Yes, yep.
Also, I guess I had a question. Is there any way that I can address John Stripmatter?
Sure, as far as what, Brett?
I just had a question. There was a couple of people who talked to me about having concerns with the downtown, the donut, you know, wherever that is.
Sure.
Just the facade, you know, if he could give me kind of any information that he might have about what he's planning with that. I'm just interested.
You're asking to talk to him right now, Brett? Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Bridget, can you get him online?
Yeah, I believe he is caller 0409. Let me see if I can go ahead and unmute him if he can join us.
Okay.
John, are you there?
Hello, yes, I've been unmuted.
Okay, you're there.
Okay. Yes, what question?
I guess I'm just interested in any information you might have about do you have any plans with the facade for that downtown building right now?
I haven't hired the architect yet, because of course I want to make sure that I can secure the license before I continue to spend more money on it. But the facade that we were thinking of, and I think I've kind of touched on this a little bit at some of the city council meetings when I spoke a little bit ago. I personally, as far as the outside of it, it seems to me like Sheboygan's kind of getting a theme with Sheboygan Title and the Stormy Cromer and Simply Marsalis and all of those stores. So kind of a old historic downtown look. That was kind of the look that my wife and I were talking about going forward with, that kind of a dressed up downtown look. I don't want anything gaudy or anything that sticks out. I would like to blend in with the community as opposed to stick out. I think I mentioned at one meeting, I don't want any sort of great big green neon signs in the window or anything that's going to detract from the character of the community.
Right.
I and going forward, I had actually about possibly approaching Tom and or anyone from City Council that would be in ideas to see what you folks would like in your community. So I'm very open to things, but I think kind of a classy look is what I'm anticipating for the outside. And then obviously the inside is just going to be what any provisioning center would be, which is going to have a waiting room, then secure rooms for the product, a safe, and things of that sort. But the building itself has to be a complete redo. And we would like to redo not only just the inside, but the outside as well.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate that. I think that we're on the same page as far as you know, going for a classy look. I think a lot of people would appreciate.
I would definitely want to do that. And again, I would be willing to work with anybody who is willing to work with me as far as looking at different architectural designs or anything to do. I want to be a good part of the community.
All right, that's all I had.
Wonderful, thank you.
All right, anything else, Brett?
No, we already addressed meetings coming up. As long as we're notified and we get some of that stuff rolling, I don't have anything else.
Okay. I'll move on to Vaughn if he has anything or. All right, I will move on to Diane.
Thank you. I would just reiterate what Nick said and Brett, as far as we have more availability for most of us. And I think taking advantage of this time through these kinds of meetings would be helpful to keep the city moving. And I think it's a valid point that even though there's so many things that are closed and look somewhat like a ghost town downtown, knowing that the city is still active and doing what it needs to do to keep us going forward, I think is important. I think it's important for the people to know that. So I'm available anytime for any extra meetings that you need me.
All right.
And I just want to say, I want to give Vaughn my condolences.
All right. Thank you. Nick, you're next on the list.
Sure. I just got a couple quick things. I think in the same context, I think that we should schedule Tom an organizational meeting if we can very soon, just to kind of rehash and get back on track with that. I think that's an important, some conversations that we were having were very important to get that rolling again. And okay. In this format works good for me if it does for the other councilmen on board.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. And for Sarah and Brett, who are part of the committee,
yep.
Can you two meet in the daytime at all, or do you prefer something after 5?
It really just depends on the day for me, you know, whenever I get done with work, basically.
Okay.
After 5 would really work best for me. If I meet during the day, it would have to be an exception.
Okay.
If you have something in mind, you can just, you know, throw it out at us, you know, but, you know, I'm even weekends, maybe. Yeah, I work on a weekend.
Yeah, I have no problem with a weekend if that's fine with everybody else.
It's not like we're leaving our house, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Sometimes something after 5 or weekends. And
I also had a quick, how many medical marijuana license applications have been put in for each of the different types of license?
We have 4 right now. Is that correct, Bridget? Bridget is holding those.
Yep, we have 4 of the provisioning centers and 1 other license that was applied for in one of the other categories, and I don't recall off the top of my head what that was. And
that's John Straymatter. John Straymatter applied for 4 licenses, grow facility, provisioning center or processing center.
So are you including in that count John and others like John that have been pre-qualified?
No.
These are actual license holders.
No, they're the four applications that we received, some of which do not have the license from the state. They only have the pre-qualification.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
They were waiting in the wings to even be able to apply.
I believe we have two fully completed applications and two that only have the pre-qualification letter.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. The only other thing I wanted to discuss real quick was with the chief, but it doesn't have to be in this format, on the opportunity, how he got the opportunity for the Sutton truck if it didn't go to the fire chief. How was it, is he, because he was the head of our public safety for so long, is he still the communication, is she still the window of communication on that? Or can we get that transferred to the fire chief when it comes to fire stuff? I think I'm pretty appreciative of the opportunity. Sounds like it's a pretty good opportunity, but it just seems like Sarah had brought up earlier, that can't skip, that communication line can't jump over the fire chief in this situation.
Sure. Yeah, and the chief just responded, Sutphin's called them about the opportunity and said that this vehicle is available.
Gotcha. So,
yeah.
Okay, so before our next meeting, which is the public hearing, or before the May meeting, we'll have some discussion with the fire chief, or he'll have some sort of something on that and what our needs are with that, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Good. That's all I have.
All right, thanks, Nick. Ashley, do you have anything to add?
Nothing specific, but I do also have extra time on my hands these days until business gets fired back up. So if anybody needs any person anywhere, I'm free and available. So
very good. I don't have anything to add tonight, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll support. Second.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank you, Bridget, for hosting.
Thanks. I think that went great.
Yeah, that wasn't bad at all. So thanks for everybody being patient and for joining us tonight.
It was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Signing off. Thank you.
Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
Yep.